That's the New York Ska Jazz Ensemble with Boogie Stop Shuffle. It's from their 2008 album, Step Forward. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're just in time for the big re-education program. Today is the day, this afternoon, the coffee giant Starbucks is closing more than 8,000 of its stores nationwide to provide racial bias training for its 175,000 employees. The company-wide training comes after Starbucks issued a public apology for the arrest of two black men at a Philadelphia store. The manager of that store said the men were trespassing, even though they were waiting only for a few minutes to meet up with another person who was going to have a meeting with them. But the manager of the store said they were trespassing, called the cops. The men were arrested, and thus began a public outrage. Since customers in the store actually videotaped what was going on and sent it out, it went viral, and thus began the backlash against Starbucks. Well, the CEO of Starbucks, Kevin Johnson, called the arrests reprehensible and said that they indicated a need for race bias training for Starbucks employees. The men, meanwhile, Rashawn Nelson and Dante Robinson, have reached an undisclosed settlement with Starbucks, and the company will fund, as part of the settlement, an incubator for young local entrepreneurs. But this is a very, very big thing, and we're going to analyze it today. What is going on here? Well, it's a good idea if a company feels that it has really sullied its own reputation by the poor treatment its employees give to customers, and is just doing the right thing. It's trying to make amends, and it's trying to reverse course here, because it could be a very costly endeavor if these things don't get addressed. So is the CEO of Starbucks, is this the right thing to do? Is this a thing that is coming from the heart? Or is there something else happening here? That's what we're going to be talking about today. What exactly is this race bias training? What is it designed to do? Will it actually achieve anything? And what is the real issue as you see it? You may recall I talked about this just after it happened. I talked about it in the context of other situations in which non-whites found themselves on the wrong side of the law, not because of anything they did. We had the situation, apart from the Starbucks situation, we had a situation in which two young Native American men on a college tour were removed, summarily removed from the tour because a white woman who called campus police said she was uncomfortable. They made her feel uncomfortable. We had the situation which a young man moving back to New York City after a stint in Washington in the Obama administration finds himself facing armed police as he was moving into his new apartment. Somebody in the building called the police to report a burglary in progress and was specific enough to say that the burglar was carrying a large weapon. So his life could have ended that day. So what is this move by Starbucks? What could it be about, in your view? 888-874-4888. Let's get to the bottom of this, and let's see it for what it is. Whichever way you see it, I'd be interested in how you interpret this move today by Starbucks to have essentially a company-wide re-education program, albeit for a couple of hours, but aimed at getting employees across the nation, getting employees to be more proactive in how they behave toward customers and reshaping their attitudes. What do you think of this move? And give points if you think points are needed and points should be given, give points. But there is something very deep happening here. And it is not just about a company doing what it can do to basically save face. And this is the way they're approaching the issue. They have some people that they have reached out to who will be part of this company-wide retraining. And hopefully it would change the nature, the tenor of its employees. But in so doing, what is Starbucks actually confirming? Ed from California, how do you see it?
Hi, Beatrice. Nice to talk
Hi.
To you.
Thank you.
This move by Starbucks is absolutely meaningless. It's just to try to show the public that they're seen doing something to rectify the situation. But this situation will never be rectified unless the police are held accountable for becoming the private security force of Starbucks. The minute Starbucks called them, they came down there and arrested these two gentlemen. That's very disturbing in this country, that the police no longer are the police, but the private security forces of the various corporations. And this will happen again. If some other corporation calls or some other restaurant calls the police for the same racial prejudice that exists, we're in a police state anyway. I mean, there's no doubt that we're in a police state, but the police are no longer acting like the police because they had become the private security force of Starbucks. So this move by Starbucks is meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless because it doesn't address the larger issue that we have a problem in this country, and it's called the police state. It's called white supremacy and racial prejudice. And until we deal with that, until we deal with the two things that I think are a real problem for Americans, and one is the war on drugs, which completely stigmatizes people, but people of minority and color, and also the Patriot Act, which basically gave Barack Obama, who signed legislation in 2012, New Year's Eve night, so that nobody would pay attention and listen, that he has unfettered authority to call each and every one of us terrorists and can extinguish us at will. So until we get rid of these two things, people are going to be demonized by the police because they feel they have unfettered authority. But this move by Starbucks will be absolutely meaningless. It's just a publicity stunt to make them look good.
You don't give them any points at all for
Not at all.
Address a problem. Okay.
No, because the problem is when the police showed up, they became the private security force of Starbucks. I don't give them any credit at all. And again, the fact that they're national, making sure that the news media knows this and everybody knows, this is a publicity stunt because they're worried about their customers not coming back. So this is all about money. That's all it is.
Okay. Well, I agree with you. In fact, when I talked about those three instances to just discuss how this country is functioning despite what people think, I did say that the one thing that we must look at in all those three examples that I raised was the role of the police. The manager at Starbucks calls, the police show up, and she says, "I want those men arrested." And of course, they were arrested. And she even told them on what charge. "I want them arrested for trespassing." And so they were. So you have a strong point there about the role of the police. And you give, just to clarify, you give no points at all to Starbucks. You're not giving them even half a point.
None at all. Not at all.
All right, Ed, thank you for getting us started today. 888-874-4888. This is a very interesting thing. It's unfolding before our eyes. It's being very, very sophisticatedly handled. And it is meant to give us assurance that here's a company doing a very forward-looking thing, a very progressive thing. But as Ed said, this comes after the police essentially did the job that the Starbucks manager essentially wanted done, which is to arrest these men, whether it was the right thing, whether it was constitutional, that did not matter. The police executed to the letter exactly what the manager wanted done. All right. What else do you find interesting about this afternoon gathering in which all people will come together and learn how to deal with each other? Now, this is a commercial entity. It's got a ton of Starbucks stores all over the country. A lot is at stake here. What do you think is being done? As of today, what do you expect the outcome to be? 888-874-4888. Patricia, what do you think?
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I'm going to expand on the previous caller, because if Starbucks was truly serious about this activity, they would have mandated that all of their employees take this training. As a matter of fact, all of the employees are not mandated. It is voluntary. So those who don't believe or feel that this is appropriate for them do not have to attend. When you're serious about an activity, you say everybody must partake. Everybody must attend. That's when you're serious. It's not voluntary. It's mandatory.
Okay, but aside from that, what do you think is lurking under the surface here?
Well, I have to agree again with the previous caller that this is designed to this is what I would characterize as damage control. So this happened, it went viral, it's clear, although sometimes you know you're being challenged to believe your lying eyes, but it went viral and everybody saw what occurred. This is damage control, and it's not going to impact their bottom line at all.
Okay. Well, thank you. Jeff from New Jersey, what is your thinking on this?
Hello?
Yes, Jeff.
Hello? Yeah. Oh, okay. How you doing? Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I will give them a point, because they actually called the arrest reprehensible. Usually they won't speak out against police in that manner, but I will give them points for that. I don't think it is going to change anything, and like everybody kind of agrees with this is really like damage control.
Just interrupt for a second. The comment about how reprehensible it was that they were arrested, these two men, was not a comment directed at the police. It was a comment directed at Starbucks employees for causing a reprehensible arrest.
Ah, okay. All right, well, and I think at the training, I mean, how good is it going to do? A lot of the Starbucks employees are minority, so I can understand how they would say, if it doesn't apply to you, don't come, you know, you don't have to come to the training, because they're usually victims. And I would say probably at this woman's store that her employees were probably understood what kind of manager she was. As far as the role of the police, we go back way back to the days of slavery, where they had to protect the white woman in this country. And even so much as there was a law made in, I believe it's South Carolina or Georgia, there was a law about punishing slaves and accidentally killing them, and that you would not be prosecuted under the law for murder. And this was made, this law was made for white women, because they were beating the slave, they were beating their husbands' illegitimate children to death, so they would not inherit anything from the, you know, from the slave master. So it's always been this history of saving white women and saving white women from the black man, or saving, you know, they have been put on the pedestal. And they are the, you know, I didn't understand, you know, when I was younger, why black women would join, say, a women's lib movement, when it appeared to be, this was a white woman's fight. Your black men were not being employed, but you're out fighting for women's rights.
You're veering off course. You're doing it very nicely, but you're so straying from the subject.
I know. Just,
get back to the subject.
What are we supposed to
pay attention to in this whole scenario?
Nothing. It's nothing that we haven't seen before. And I actually, yes, we need to pay attention to people being able to call and, like you said, name the charge and have people arrested based on their whim, and police responding in a way that there's no investigation, you know, there's no police work being done. And yet, like you said, there's lives that can be lost. So really,
what's the most strategic thing that the company has accomplished so far?
It's covering, the most strategic thing it has done is covering its behind. They were in a bit of, I guess, they were in a bit of trouble anyway because of their GMO coffees and et cetera, but in their costs and the way that they were running people out of, you know, setting up and running small coffee shops out of business. So this was, you know, they needed some kind of damage control, some kind of good look to their uh-huh. company. You know, they had to look like they were being progressive and that they, you know, they're supposed to be this hit place that everybody hung out at, et cetera, but now, you know, you kind of see that the ugly face was really about capitalism. It was really about getting your money. And that's what they wanted to keep doing, keep getting your money.
All right. Okay. You're close, but no cigar yet. You're close.
Well,
you're close.
And let me thank you for always pushing the envelope and making us think more.
Well, look, I have to do it. I figure I might as well share the pain. Thanks so much. Thanks, Jeff, for your call. Ali from New York, what's the most strategic thing that has been accomplished here?
Well, this training is about how to treat people of color, because they have the same treatment for white people. So they let them sit there for hours. They hit you could come to New York City and you could just see. But one strategic movement is about how to treat people of color, because those are the only people that they're being a stereotype at a Starbucks. And another thing is about the PR movement that they're doing is to, because they know that a lot of people of color, black people, they go to the store. And they have to satisfy that segment of their clientele. There's not only white people that they go. They wouldn't even be able to survive with just white people going to the store. You could just take a look here in the stores in New York City. All the black, Latinos, people of color that they go to the stores. So they have to use that strategy about making this movement, because it's not a movement about how to treat people. They know what people get. They're getting abused in this country. It's on one group of only the people of color. So you tell me, what are the people are they treating besides us? The other group, they don't treat that way. I mean, you could even be a homeless, and if you white and you're homeless and you look decent, they will let you sit you there. But you know what? I would love for the group of homeless people, especially here in New York at 34th Street at Penn Station, to go and sit for hours in those stores and see what will happen, because the cops will be called again.
Mm.
There's no question.
You sure about that?
Oh, yes, they will. I mean, look at Penn Station. Penn Station even has a prison there. You even see the military there. So I won't be, if it's all those homeless people at Penn Station, they go to the store that they have at Penn Station and sit there for hours, I'm pretty sure that they will call the police department. And the police department is actually almost facing, one of the Starbucks on 34th Street, right on Penn, is almost facing the precinct that they have at Penn Station. So,
okay.
Yes.
You think,
that's what I have.
You think it would happen anyway? But look.
Oh, yes.
We're not getting close to the real problem. How come? What's going on with the folks today? What's going on? We surely will be able to identify what's really happening here. Marie from Baltimore, what's really happening here?
You brought up a very good subject, because it was brought up in Baltimore this morning with Professor Ray Winbush and another lady. I'm sorry I didn't get her name. And Professor Winbush brought up a good point about white spaces where blacks may intervene or go into. The manager of the store might have been practicing white spaces, which indicate power, that Ray Winbush brought up. And that's about all I can say on that. And we experience that, all of us, every day in every place in America, white spaces. That's all I have to say, dear, and you have a good show.
Okay, I've been dismissed. All righty. Tug from New York, what is happening here? And why aren't we seeing it? The great
peace.
Starbucks defensive.
Well, peace to you, Sister Utrecht, and I appreciate your taking the call, and peace to...
Thank you.
Absolutely. And I was wondering if I could just briefly outline an action that heads are undertaking right now around this very issue. It's a call to action around this so-called anti-bias training and Starbucks support for prison slave labor or for prison slavery through utilizing.
I appreciate your point. I don't mean to cut you off, but we have mm-hmm. to stay on point.
Mm-hmm.
The question in play is, Starbucks is conducting a company-wide retraining effort. And the point of it is to sensitize its employees to what they call unconscious bias. And this supposedly would enable them to be more effective in serving the customers. Okay, we can agree it's not as simple as that. But what is emerging, you think, as a great strategy here?
Well, I would say that it's similar to what Starbucks has traditionally done, to basically present a picture of itself as an ethical corporation, as promoting the interests of human beings across the world. But at the same time, materially, practicing the exact opposite of what they preach. So it seems like an attempt to whitewash this recent act, one of countless other acts like it, of, you know, criminalizing us in their stores, as well as the fact that, you know, they are, their labor practices have, you know, not been in anywhere near what their rhetoric is. So to me, it's just more papering over the reality on the ground of this corporation that is exploiting us nationally and internationally, and including inside in the prisons, you know, some of our most vulnerable populations.
Well, thank you. You're putting us closer. We're getting closer. And thanks for your effort to get us there. Randolph from Montreal, what do you think?
Thank you, Eutrice. I wonder if two cups of coffee would have sorted out the whole situation. And I say that because both sides don't see, neither side, common sense, I wonder if it's possible to teach common sense, because both sides didn't look at it from the other side, the other's point of view. The manager probably figured these guys are not going to buy anything, they just want to sit around for nothing. And those two guys felt that they had a cause of waiting for their friend. All they had to do is just buy two cups of coffee and wait for their friend.
But then that would have underlined and underscored the problem in the first place, because it would have made a demand of these two African-American men that is not made routinely of any white customer.
Well, the possibility is that it is a store, and it is a, they're in business. It's difficult, you know. They have, if they don't have empty seats, and people come in, and then they, you know, they don't have a place to go. But just a cup of coffee would have sorted out. I mean, but the training, can you really teach common sense to employees?
Know. We don't know. But it is very interesting that serving black customers is so complicated, apparently, for some corporations and businesses. It appears to require exceptional effort. I don't know that. I don't know that any business really goes into business anticipating that certain sectors of their customer base will have to be treated in a particular way. I don't understand that. Mm-hmm. Again, right. We're getting closer, but nobody's catching the obvious here. What's going on? My people. Maxelina from California. You tell us. Give us the answer.
Good morning, Eutrice. There seem to be several points coming up here. First of all, 2 hours training for something as substantial as this. I mean, it takes a decade, if not lifetimes, to understand a culture and another people. And that's ludicrous. And it's obviously they want to just get back in business. That's a blind person could surely see that. I lived in South Africa for 8 years, and I lived with Indian people for 5 of those years, and defied, you know, the laws, and was very, very happy with them. And my point is that when I moved to the U.S., to L.A., I said to people, this is the most racial country, anti-racial country, racist country I've ever lived in. Yeah, and I know there was an uprising, and some of my friends were shot by the black folks because they were so oppressed for too long.
But let's Let's talk about this particular case. What is going on in this particular case?
Well, I'm not sure I really know enough about it, all the details, to dissect it. But it's clear to me from hearing that part where they're having a two-hour session, and it's very clear they just want to get back in business. What a joke. I don't go to Starbucks, by the way. I think it stinks. It's not even organic, most of it. But, you know, I don't know.
Okay. Well, thank you for your contribution today. Thanks for calling in. Marty from Connecticut, are you going to give us the answer or not?
I'm not 100% sure, but I will say this. I'd like to start with, I'm a long-time listener and a first-time caller, and I heard the discussion and the thread. I felt compelled to call in. I do not see how the training session voluntary or involuntary will be of much help for them. But I do know that if there were deficiencies in their employment practices, policies, and procedures, and if they wanted to put up a firewall against possible class action suits down the line, this would be a great way to establish that.
Absolutely, and you're correct about that. You're close. You're close.
Well, this, I mean, other than acknowledging that they have a problem by having the training, must mean that they had gaps previously.
Oh, yes. They had troubles before. And this is why they are taking good care to improve the defense. So they're on the defensive, but it has a new twist to it. Thanks for calling in. Laura from
Thank
New Jersey.
You.
Yeah.
Laura?
Hello? Yes, hi. Yes. Can you hear me? Oh, hi. How are you?
Okay.
Long time no call, but I'm glad to get in. I do not know if I have the right answer, but I'll tell you, this is something that occurred to me right away in the whole discussion that, you know, this whole training thing on Starbucks' part seems to be a smokescreen for their normal hiring practices. I mean, how not racially diverse is their staff? Why was this not already the basis of their hiring and training?
Good question. But a little off-center today. But it's an excellent question.
Okay. I'll keep listening. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. So we have CC from New Jersey.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank
and
you.
And I hope I'm hearing you with the answer, CC.
Well, I don't know if I have the answer. I wasn't going to call in, but I want to just share what I've been thinking about this Starbucks situation and also with the football situation is that I think they're preventing a massive, major boycott. And I think it should still go on. There should be a boycott. We're missing the opportunities, and this is national, if not international, and they're preventing it. They're doing what they can to prevent it. I don't know how much training, because they're going to have the same people working, same things going on. And so I think that the owner is smart, 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 and they are doing something to head off a disaster, possible disaster.
Yes, but what are they doing that is so strategic? Very interesting. Thank you so much for calling in today.
You're welcome.
Clara from Philadelphia, you're on the air. You must have the answer, Clara.
Oh, I don't know if it's the answer, but this is the way I see it. I see it as a way of transferring responsibility to the individual and absolving the corporation and the system in general of responsibility for the embedded racism that we experience. Now they can say, okay, we've trained you. What are you doing? And just fire the person without assuming a responsibility for the atmosphere, the racist atmosphere that we all experience. So that's what I've been thinking about.
That's an excellent, excellent point. And you have no idea how excellent it is, but it is an excellent point. Great.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Henry from Chicago, you better have the answer.
Okay. Just how you doing, Teresa, and greetings to you and the PRN.
Thank you. Same to you.
All right. So what is I came in a little late. What is the question on the table again? I know it's related to Starbucks.
Yes. The issue is Starbucks. They're making this great effort today to reorient its staff at all of its outlets in the country about how to deal with the public and essentially be aware of their own biases, I guess.
Okay.
What is the approach that Starbucks is taking here that is so strategic in its defensive move?
All right. You have to apologize if I don't have the answer that you're looking for. But here is...
you just want to put that up front, right?
Yes.
But go ahead.
So here is my thought. All right. So basically what's happening is Starbucks is, I mean, this is basically a total deflection action here. Because the thing is that Starbucks has been very intricate in the gentrification process of some of these major towns, or major cities. So in order for them to keep out the limelight of being part of the gentrification plan, then they do this, you know, they do this workshop or whatever they call it to, you know, be more sensitive to people of color. So that is basically kind of my two cents in it.
That's a very good point, an excellent point. But I was hoping you would go a little bit more basic than that.
Oh, okay.
But it is you still get good points because it is relevant in this discussion. Okay, so I'm going to tell you what I think the answer is. We talked, just go back to the examples that I had given some time ago when I linked these three seemingly unconnected issues. And I pointed to the role of the police and the ability of the white women involved in all three cases, not only to be believable in their complaints, but to cause a string of unconstitutional actions. But I'll leave that aside for the moment. Starbucks has not only itself to blame. African Americans have themselves to blame. And in particular, Starbucks has hired, as it's typical, very high-profile folks who you think would have some common sense by now about whether they're being used or whether they are actually helping something. In this effort, in this retraining effort, and this is the point that Clara made about transferring responsibility for an employee's actions to the person of color. If you didn't do XYZ, I would not have had the need to do A, B, and C. Perfect example in each of these instances. The responsibility for Starbucks' errors were transferred directly to the young men. But I'm going to the heart of the matter here. The two young men who were unconstitutionally arrested still came to a settlement. They came to an undisclosed settlement in a situation that clearly had the advantage of saying, well, we can really play hardball here for any number of reasons. They chose settlement, not justice. They got some money. Starbucks committed to setting up this kind of business incubator for young entrepreneurs. And they committed a mere $200,000 to that. But they got the blessing of the two men arrested falsely for trespassing. They came around, you see. They believe in equality and getting along. The second instance is that we have some black folks playing a very, very active role in purging Starbucks of its systemic racism. One of them is the rap artist, actor slash whatever. He's now, I suppose, a trainer. I don't think he has the academic qualifications of that. But he's a black guy, and he's a rapper. And he is going to be figuring very, very strategically in this lecture of how to treat black folks. And who knows better than Common? That's who's doing this. He is going to be talking, given the stage, as it were, to explain to white people how to get along with black people. So the premise still is there's something special and unique about black people that you need to know the secrets of. And he's playing a major role this afternoon in conducting anti-racial bias, this anti-racial bias workshop. Besides Common, we have none other than the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. I don't know what they'll be doing, but my question always is, because this is not the first time this happens. You go out, a company is in trouble, they go out and find some black folks, and the black folks will be talking in behalf of the company to explain how to really respond to the extraordinary needs of black folks. At a, you're in a coffee shop. Where's a customer? But now we have black people who are excellent at being black come in and conduct workshops on how to treat black people because they require special treatment. So we have three key people or sets of people here who shouldn't be there, who should be having nothing to do with this retraining. And it suggests to me they have been co-opted and willingly. There is no way, if I were the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, what am I doing talking to a bunch of people who not only did call the cops, but are likely to call the cops again for the wrong reason? There's no vested interest. The job of the NAACP is defending the rights of people. I'm advising a company on how to treat black people so as to avoid prosecution for racial discrimination. You have no business there. That's how I see it. Your job, if anything, is to arm your constituency with the information and the power to rectify for themselves any kind of injury they suffer in a Skype, a Starbucks. But instead, I think a lot of money is being passed around here. And the people who should be at the forefront of advocating against Starbucks are part and parcel of the whole Kumbaya movement that is going on this afternoon. We see this all the time. A situation occurs in a community, particularly a community of color, and then they send out the ambassadors of goodwill. You see it all the time. And this is happening today. Whereas I would advance the idea that the role of the NAACP, the role of Common, the entertainer and actor and rapper and whatever else he is, should be to take the lead in, as much as they are willing to take the lead in something, take the lead for justice. Take the lead for justice. What would justice look like? Well, we can look at Starbucks buying practices, coffee buying practices. We could take a look at how many of the stores are owned and operated by people of color. We can look, as again, Clara gave us this idea, what are your hiring practices like? Get serious. This is a time to get serious. But we have the anomaly here that even the victims won't stand up. They're being good black young men. We don't want any trouble. We'll take X number of dollars and we'll go away. We won't bother you anymore. They refuse to take a leadership role, even when it concerns them. That's how messed up this whole thing is. People are livid all around the nation because they understand what was going on there. They understand what went on. They understand how offensive it is. And you are busy accommodating. You are busy accommodating this global business. And for whatever it is you settled for, you were content to accept that. And more, you don't want any part of protest against Starbucks. You don't want any part of the community to stand up and say, this company has offended us and we're chasing it out of our neighborhoods. They're not in for a fight. Even when they don't themselves have to fight, they don't want it. They're not even admitting that they were seriously wrong. Even the president and the CEO of Starbucks said how reprehensible it was. But they're not calling their arrests reprehensible. They don't want any trouble. So they settled. Even before they sued. And this is a problem we encounter quite a lot in the African American and Latino communities. People expect change, but they don't want to have anything to do with it. This is not about the company. The company is doing whatever it is that they feel they have to do to get out of this morass that they're in. They need to restore their brand, which has been damaged. They want to fend off any further damage. They're running a business. And these are the things that could seriously injure or even put a company out of business. And here we have what I could only call a conspiracy. It's so unfortunate, but it happens all the time. You have a situation that the community takes seriously, and the community is deeply affected by and offended by. And the first strategic move that they make is to go and find people to put out the fires for them. And to use even their good names to do that. The NAACP has no business in this. Why should the NAACP Legal Defense Fund be serving as a FLAC? They shouldn't be involved in this. Starbucks has enough money to hire all kinds of consultants. Big time companies to help save its face and reputation, let them do that. But this is the move, and it happens almost every time. Go hire some other blacks to keep the other blacks in their place, to keep them from going overboard. To keep them in good temper. This is what is happening this afternoon. It's just about money and people who long ago have come to the conclusion, so you can say anything you want about me, just pay me and we good. I think it is a sad, sad thing, because in this particular case was an extraordinary array of points of entry into dealing with Starbucks. These two young men and their arrests, that spoke to the issue of the police, and our very first caller today said exactly what was on my mind. He talked about the role of the police as a kind of private army for America's corporate sector. And you can't deny that. They can't deny that. That would have been a perfect point of entry. How is it that these two men ended up being arrested? Ed from California, I believe, was the one who brought that point up. They came in. I said exactly, if you recall, go back, listen to the program. In each of the instances, I talked about it was the role of the police we should be paying attention to. They show up and they begin to carry out the directives of, in this case, the manager of a Starbucks. I want these two men arrested. They're arrested. I want them charged with such and such. They charge with trespassing. So I think the sad part here, and we will discover this as it goes on beyond today, is they'll try to ensure that they use the community against itself. And it's not that they use it, but they conjure. See each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.